Good morning. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. When this letter was written, the Apostle Paul was in prison for the second time at Rome. This imprisonment was different than his first, because his first he was under house arrest. People could come easily to visit him. He was not under the sentence of death. But now, some 6 years later, Paul was in prison in a dark cell, probably crowded conditions, unsanitary conditions, little light. And those who would come to see him and visit him themselves were endangering their own lives by coming boldly to attend him. And so as he's nearing the end of his life, he begins to think about young Timothy, and he begins to think about the saints at Ephesus and great concern and love for the cause of Christ, and that Timothy and the church of Ephesus, and as a result for all of us in our day and time, that you and I, as he encouraged Timothy, might be strong in the faith, might be strong in the grace of God, that we would do all that we could to stand up in our day for Jesus Christ. And so I want to remind you that as Paul's writing to Timothy, and though that there are many things concerning Timothy being a pastor, yet as a young man, Timothy had to face some things that you will face today. You will have to face people who mock the name of Jesus Christ. You will have to face philosophies that are contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. You'll live in a society that will call evil good and good evil. And this is your day as it was Timothy. God has called all of you who are believers to be strong and mighty soldiers for Jesus Christ. He wants to call and remind you that you can make a difference in your day, and that you can stand and triumph over the evil of the times. We're not going to ever do away with evil until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But we can overcome it and defeat it in our day and time. And this is God's call to you in your day and time, as to Timothy, to be strong. It is obvious that Christians have always lived in dangerous times, in difficult times. They had challenges. As Paul's writing to Timothy, he calls to mind some of the difficulties. After all, I want to remind you that Paul was in prison and under the sentence of death because he was a believer of Jesus Christ, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what he was condemned for. It's for his love and passion for Christ. And he was suffering there along with other Christians who also were giving their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I in our nation thus far have not been called to actually have to give our lives. But I want to remind you that in the world, that we live in today in many countries, in some of the Muslim countries today and other places, that to be a Christian is an offense to the governments and those nations and to their families. And many Christians today have been imprisoned for the testimony of Christ, and they have given their lives. It is difficult in our society of comfort for you and I to be willing to make the sacrifices that God calls upon us. You live in a different time because many of us are lulled to sleep because we love our comforts and are unwilling to give them up. And this is God's call to us, to be willing to give ourselves up for the cause of Christ. So the difficult times are, look at verse 115. We find that Paul mentions that there in his day and there in Asia Minor where Timothy lived and the church of Ephesus was located at, there were many already that were turning away from the truth. And there were many already, this thou knowest that all they, look at this, this thou knowest that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And so we look at that and we see how sad that is, that Paul, who, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, he labored among these people. He nurtured them. He established them in their churches and encouraged them with letters to be strong in the Lord. And now we see that even for Paul, that those who had taught and labored among, that some of them already were turning away from him and from his teachings and not wanting to be associated with the sufferings that he had. Brethren, I want to ask you, how willing are you to be associated with Jesus Christ and his kingdom? Brethren, being part of Christ's kingdom is more important than being a citizen of the United States. It's more important than being a member or live in the state of Georgia or Alabama or Texas or wherever you come. You live and are to be part of the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that should be the noblest thing that burns in your heart. How can I faithfully serve this king in his kingdom? And that you not be like these people who turned away when the way gets rough and difficult. That you don't become blind to the things that are around you and the evil of the day, and you become quiet, unable to stand. Brethren, if there's a time that people of God need to stand up against evil, it's in our day and time. These were cowardly, ungrateful men. But we do know that there were men that Paul called upon for Luke to look to follow and to make his companions. There was Luke. If you look in chapter 4, verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me, a faithful man. There's not a lot that's said about Luke in the scripture other than we know that he wrote the gospel of Luke. But all brethren, the witness of faithfulness here, the courageousness of Luke to be willing to go into the prison itself and to risk his own life out of love for Paul and for the love of the kingdom of God, and that he was willing to show that I'm standing with you, Paul. I'm standing with the truth. I'm standing with the things that you've taught us about Jesus Christ. I love them. I'm willing to suffer with you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he was there, the faithful blood physician, caring for Paul. And not only him, but Onesiphorus was there also to give his support to Paul and had refreshed him when Paul was in shame. He was not ashamed of his bonds. And I think that's important for us. Because, brethren, when we are silent and we refuse to stand up for what's right, What is behind that? Why are we afraid to stand up? Are we ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it something that we're gladly to tell others that we believe in Christ and we want to follow Him with all our hearts? And you refuse to call that which is evil, good, and that which is good, evil. So they had a difficult time. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, I want you to remind, look at verse 8, that be of chapter 1, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me of his prisoners, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So he's called upon him. First of all, don't be ashamed of the gospel. And not only that, in this not being ashamed of gospel, be willing to pay the cost. Be willing to do what it takes to stand. Even if it costs you, be willing to do that. So, as Paul writes this, his thoughts and his prayers turned lovingly to the church at Ephesus that was having problems. There were men among the church at Ephesus that already had crept in and began to teach that there wasn't even a resurrection. There was men that were creeping in that were teaching and leading the people away from their steadfastness in the sound doctrines that the apostles taught and from sound practice and leading them into ungodliness. And Timothy, this was the second time things evidently had deteriorated in the church at Ephesus since Paul wrote 1 Timothy. Things had gotten worse. See, Timothy was a godly man. Timothy was a sound man. Many of you may be sound people. Many of you may be living godly lives. But one of the things that Timothy had a problem with is when it came to standing up against forceful personalities and difficult times, Timothy was timid. And evidently he had a tendency to waver. And Paul understood that. So he was writing to Timothy to call and remind him that the times demanded that he hold the line, that he be strong, that he be strong in the power of God's grace. And brethren, that's the same thing for you. Are you willing to be strong in the grace of God? Are you willing to stand when others aren't willing to stand? Are you willing to speak out, or are you timid and unafraid? Afraid that you can't give the witness that you need to? I want to remind you, every one of you is called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's not just the ministry that are to witness for Jesus Christ, but you are all called. You are Christ's witnesses in this world today. This is your day. This is your time. And so we are hoping in this meeting that we would encourage you to remember who you are and what God has called to you. And that calling that God has called you to be His witnesses will be the most powerful influence that directs your lives. So Paul writes this. Be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How can we do this? What does this mean? There's some responsibility here. And I think many of us, when it comes to this grace, somehow or another, we're all thinking that somehow or another God is going to come and zap all of us, and all of us are going to have this wonderful feeling and this wonderful power that life is not going to be difficult, and we're going to be somehow get this godly zap that zaps us to where we stand up. But God uses means. God is a God of means. He has given. If you are regenerated children of God and believers in Jesus Christ, you have been given grace by God. And the command here, and I want you to understand this, this is not a suggestion that the Apostle Paul has given. This is a command that we are constantly striving to strengthen ourselves in this grace of God that God uses. Now, how do we do that? How do we strengthen ourselves? It's a responsibility that God gives you. We can't do it without the aid and grace of God, but yet at the same time, God gives us the responsibility to use the means that He willingly, freely gives to us to use. Well, the first thing we must do is we must first realize and accept the fact that this is not a suggestion. God commands you to do this. God commands it. His word commands it. And we are to constantly strengthen ourselves in this grace. It is the same thing, same idea, as Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus that Timothy was the pastor of, and he was writing them kind of on the same messages about to stand in their daytime. And he comes up in Ephesians 6:10 and he's ending his letter. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's the same type thing that we're to be strong in the Lord. That's where we get our strength. We get our strength in the Lord. But then how do we strengthen ourselves in the grace of Jesus Christ? First, we are to lay hold upon this grace that we might do that which we can't do for ourselves. We do that by faith. We must believe in the effectual power of grace. Brethren, I believe the grace of God is a powerful influence in the lives of God's children. It is more than just God's unmerited favor. It is God's divine influence upon your heart and then its reflection in your life. Is grace being reflected in your lives? Is the grace of God being reflected in you? Can people see the grace of God in your lives as you're striving to serve God? That's what we want. We want to see that. So how do we strengthen ourselves? We believe it. We accept it. We believe in His power. Do you believe that God's grace can make a difference in your life? Do you believe that God's grace can enable you, as shy as you are, as inadequate as you feel, to be someone who can stand for truth and right, that you can speak up, that you can overcome your shyness and timidity, that you can overcome every barrier that hinders you and keep you? God's word tells us that God's grace is all powerful. It changes lives. It's able to do that. I want to remind you what the Hebrew letter says in 11:6, without faith, if you don't believe in God's grace, then how are you going to strengthen yourselves in it? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You've got to believe that God gives you grace and that you can avail yourself of this grace. And this grace, as you're strengthening yourselves in it, begins to have an effect in your lives. There's not only the sovereignty of God working at you, giving you the will and the to do of His good pleasure, but there also is that responsibility of you acting by faith to embrace the grace that God has given you. Because it makes the difference. And that's what He's telling Timothy here. You're shy. You're facing obstacles in your life. You're unwilling to deal with the conflict, and you must. Is there how many of you like to be a person that pleases everybody? You don't want to offend anybody. Well, I'll raise my hand. Because I like to please people. I don't want to offend people. But brethren, let me tell you, there are times for the cause of Christ that we must not be ugly, not being rude, but for love of Christ, and love for the kingdom of God, that we must lovingly tell people the truth. When you see a friend that is not lit, who has made a witness for Christ, living in such a way that he's bringing shame to the testimony of Christ, you shouldn't be silent because you're not wanting to offend that person. You need to speak up. You need to tell them and warn them of the dangers of what they're doing, how that they're bringing the name of Christ into disrepute. You need to be willing to stand up and enjoin and encourage them to draw back from sin. That takes a lot of strength. A lot of kids will see that. And I've seen that happen as a pastor in the church. I'll watch the young people. And young people know what's going on with kids
a lot of times before the pastor does. And then by the time pastor finds out, you know, it makes it more difficult because everybody's kept it silent because we want to be faithful. Let me tell you, the most faithful friend you can be is to be one who speaks up for truth in a loving way to deliver people from their sins. Do you know that's what Timothy's calling Paul? Paul is calling Timothy to do. You need to be strong. Hebrews 4:6 tells us that we can go boldly to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need. Brethren, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to find that? Is God's grace sufficient? Paul said it was. When he's under temptation there, Satan was coming. The messenger of Satan was coming, making him uncomfortable, making him miserable, making him feel defeated, making him feel absolutely worthless. He prayed, and Paul was a man of faith and prayer. God sent his answer, and it's this: my grace is sufficient for thee. Do you believe that God's grace is sufficient for you to make you capable, able warriors? To allow you to be people whose light shines brightly in an evil world. Brethren, if you don't do it, you know what's going to happen to the kingdom of God among us? It will perish. Because God is going to use people who believe and trust in Him and avail themselves of the grace that He gives to His people. He doesn't work in areas of unbelief, but He works mightily through those who believe in Him. And we must believe in the power of God's grace. That's part of it. How powerful, just how strong is God's grace? Will it really help me to be what God has called me to be? Will it help me to have the courage to stand against the false philosophies of my professors at school? Will it help me to stand against peer pressures around me where there's people that are leading me to do that which is not right? Will it help me to stand even among my fellow brothers and sisters in my church when I see a fellow church member walking contrary and that I speak out knowing that probably they'll be mad at me? I might lose friendships. And that's what Paul says. Listen, I'm here in prison. I'm alone. Where are my friends? Only have a few that are still with me in my greatest time of need. Where are they? But brother Paul was willing to do that. He set the example for Timothy, and he calls on Timothy, be willing to suffer the afflictions of the gospel of God. You've got to do it. That's part of grace. Grace strengthens you for that. How strong is it? Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. It tells us this: for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to remind you of that. When you strengthen yourselves in there, God doesn't give you His spirit that you can cower in the ground and hide your head in the sand or to be indifferent about what's going on to you. Brethren, you should have a love for your churches. You ought to want to see them strong and grow. You ought to want to be a person that's in your church that is dependable and there and praying, and that your lives match up to the testimony of Jesus Christ that it should. You can make a difference in your churches. You can be a source that builds up the kingdom of God where you're at. God calls upon you to be strong in your churches. Have you got a weak church? Are you a weak church member? The command here is you need to strengthen yourself in the grace of God. And you need to understand that God has not given you a spirit of weakness, but brethren, He's given you that power of love and of a sound mind. Also, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. To what? To pulling down of the strongholds. And sometimes we think of, I know that there are spiritual
things that we fight against out in the world, but I think Paul's mainly talked about the battleground that's right here. The strongholds that sin make in our own lives, the doubts, the fears, the lust and passions of our own soul that war against our spirit. God's Spirit comes and He gives us that grace that we're enabled to overcome those things so that we can live godly lives, so that we can be mighty toward God. And God calls us to that. This is not an option. God calls you to be strong for Him. He calls you to be a faithful soldier. So how do we do that? This is, well, let's look at how powerful is the grace of God. Well, how powerful is God? God's grace is so much that it can take, so powerful, that it took the grace of God to change the course of life of the greatest enemy of the church of God that lived at that time. Saul of Tarsus hated the kingdom of God. He did all he could to persecute it and destroy it. People had to flee their homes because of the strength of his persecution. And brethren, he spat out his hatred everywhere he went, wanting to destroy the kingdom of God. But oh, brethren, let me tell you, the power of God is greater, and the love of God is greater, and the grace of God is greater than the hatred of Saul of Tarsus. And God's grace was such that He changed this man who hated the kingdom of God to now be a loving servant that was willing to give his life for the kingdom of God. And as he's in prison, his soul was wrapped up in concern for the kingdom of God. And this young man, that here's the key to be a strong man, is that we're striving to be strong in the grace that God has given us. I want to tell you, there's not a thing that God, and there's people that argue, there's even primitive Baptists that argue against this. But brethren, I want to tell you that I believe the Word teaches that there's not a thing that God calls upon you to do, but that He also gives us grace to do it. Our job is to seize and lay hold of the grace that God has given us. Are you willing to do that? How powerful is it? Brethren, the power of God is necessary to translate and to remove you and I out of the kingdom of darkness and its hold over us in the kingdom of His dear Son and kingdom of light. Boy, there's power that did that. It is able, it's a power that is able to deliver us from the depths of hell to the heights of eternal glory in heaven. It is powerful enough to break sin's power over us, to change us, to be willing to surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. And many of you in this room, God broke the power of Satan and blindness and darkness and caused you to believe upon His Son, Jesus Christ. And you committed your lives to Him in baptism. You became members of His kingdom in the local churches where you're at. And now God calls upon you. Your life isn't over. Your time of service isn't over. That's just the beginning of your commitment. You have a lifetime commitment, and you're to be a lifetime striving to strengthen yourselves in the grace of God. So God's power is great. It's powerful enough to take just a few men and change the world. It's powerful enough that God is erasing from us the image of Adam, our earthly father, and replacing in it the image of His dear Son. Brethren, that's a powerful thing that we can't do of ourselves. It is power, brethren, that in the midst of prison and being in prison, Paul could sing and make melody and be strengthened. That Paul could come with courageous at the end of his way, knowing that that his head was going to be cut off for the kingdom of God. But yet, when he's facing death, he's not sitting there in quaking fear and saying, "Oh, woe is me, what's next?" Brethren, here's a man that says, "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to depart. There's something greater that awaits me." Here's a man that was so strengthened in Christ that he would say in the Philippian letter, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Why could Paul do that? Because he was strengthening himself in the grace of God. And that's what he commands you and he commands Timothy to do. Now I want you to look at that. This is not going to be some kind of zap that God gives you as a believer. But part of strengthening yourself in the grace of God is found right here. First of all, we want to look at this. And the things that thou hast heard of me, verse 2 of chapter 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. One of the ways that you're strengthened in the kingdom of God is that you stay true to the word of God. That you become students of God's word, and that you realize that it's not just the ministers that's got to hold to the truth and preach to you the truth, but brethren, you need to be spiritually aware enough that when you're listening to philosophies and other ministers, that you're able to discern that which is true and what's the lie. How are you going to do that? By hearing to the apostolic doctrines that were laid down. And Paul uses that. What do you think? Did you get the connection that he's talking to Timothy? I want you to be so concerned about this word of God that not only that it strengthens you and challenges you and you stand up for it, but I want you to be diligently to teach others. Do you know that's what we're doing here today? We're assembled here together so that you can be taught the word of God, because we know that the word of God enables you to strengthen yourself in the grace of God. We want you to be strong enough so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, that you can stand against the false philosophies of the world, that you, in your day, might be able to be strong and unmovable and not bounced around with every wind of doctrine. But not only that, but that you can teach others. Hopefully some of you will be married and have strong families. I want to tell you, God calls upon you as fathers and mothers to teach your children the word of God, to teach them the truth, to be strong witness of Jesus Christ. Peradventure, God will deal graciously with your children, and that as He deals graciously with your children, you have so taught them that they too will be inspired to teach the next generation and the next generation concerning Jesus Christ. What the world needs today is to hear the truth. Who is to be the messenger of that truth? I want to tell you, it's every Christian's job. Every Christian's job. Not just your preachers, not just your pastor, but every Christian's job to speak up for your Lord and Master. Not to do so would be considered that you're ashamed of the gospel. This is serious. You can't just say, oh, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter to you, then I want to say you need to look. Are you ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not, then speak up for Him. Speak up for Him. Don't let others, God will use others. God says, I want you to do it. And that's what He's telling Timothy. We're to strengthen ourselves. Paul commanded Timothy to stir up the gift in chapter 1, verse 6. He's to stir up the gift that is in him. Let me tell you, and he's talking about his preaching gift, but I want to tell you, every one of you have gifts that God has given. And you're to be busy using it and stirring it up for the kingdom of God. Whether you have the gift of giving, whether you have that gift of compassion, whether you have the gift of faith, whether it's the gift of organization, do you realize that for us even to have this meeting, that there were people exercising their gifts for the glory of the kingdom of God? And they were doing so willingly. What were they hoping? Not just that you would come and have a fun time playing together, but they did it for the love of the kingdom of God and love for the truth and concern for the next generations that are growing among us. Why is this important? All of y'all know the Bible story of Joshua, don't you? You know how powerful Joshua was used? And God constantly was sending to Joshua, be not afraid. You know, be not afraid. Be of good courage. I'm with you. Do what you're supposed to do, trusting in me. The message hasn't changed. You need to be strong and of good courage and avail yourself of the grace of God. Study God's Word, because let me tell you, when you're studying God's Word, it will help you fight against every error and philosophy of men. In reading God's Word and learning about Him, it'll cause you to stand in awe that this glorious, majestic God has called you into noble service. So we have this. Be not ashamed of the gospel. That's the other thing. Be willing to suffer for it. Hold fast to sound doctrine. Avoid unfaithful men. And he gives us three illustrations here. The teacher, teaching, faithful to his task. And the reward that the teacher receives is knowing that as he teaches, he enriches the lives of those who hear him. And that's a wonderful message for us as ministers, but also as you. When you tell others of Jesus Christ, God is using you to enrich their lives and to make a difference in their lives. If Christ makes a difference in your life and you see others looking for help, for their times and troubles, what are you going to do? Are you not going to appoint them to the same one who gives you grace and help? Because there's no other help for a poor sinner other than Jesus Christ. And you're to point them to that. We have the great teacher, the teaching of the gospel, to pass it on to future generations. We have the soldier. You're to be a good soldier, and look what it says. And you're to endure hardness. I want to remind you, the way of the Christian life is not always easy. And here in America, one of the things that I see as a problem among Christian people is they're not willing to truly make sacrifices. We like our creature comforts. We like our entertainment. We like to have too much TV, too much radio, too much this. Not many times do I find that people are willing to sit down and study and read the Word of God. I don't find too many of you making time of your efforts to go and visit the sick and the afflicted. But brethren, I don't see sometimes many of our young people making stands that they need to against evil philosophies and say, we will not agree that this is right. This is your time. Are you going to be silent? One of the problems that we have in our country is that too much of the Christians are a silent majority. We're told that. Are you going to speak out? Unashamed for the Lord? Are you going to be a good soldier, being willing to endure hardness? Being willing to endure the embarrassment? Be willing to deal with the conflict? Be willing to speak out even though it might cost you friendships? Being able to stand up for what's truth, and even in your colleges, and you may not make the A, but you make the D because of your stand against evil philosophies that are being taught in the public schools and universities of this time? Are you willing to stand up and make a difference to your friends when you see them walking wrong and tell them this is not the way of Christ? Are you willing to make a difference in your own life? This is how you strengthen yourself in that, is that you heed to that gospel, you stir up the gifts that God gives you, you hold fast to sound doctrine, you avoid unfaithful men, and you realize that your job, God's called all of us to do, to be teachers of His Word. You do that not only by taking the Word of God and teaching people. I want to ask you, how many of you think you can be good at doing that, but you never study, never read the Bible? How many of you let your pastor do all your thinking for you? And when you talk to people, you say, well, my pastor thinks. I hate when I hear that members of the church at Fellowship are saying, well, the pastor thinks. That upsets me. I don't want them telling people what the pastor thinks. I want them telling people what the Word of God is. I want them to be proficient in the Word of God so that they can take the Word of God and point to people and say, here's what God's Word says. This is what I believe. This is what you should believe as a faithful follower of Christ. Then we have the athlete. The athlete who strives for the victory. Let me tell you, there is blessings when we lay hold of the grace of God. Because God's grace is sufficient.
It is sufficient. It gives you what you need to face the trials and rigors of life. It enables you to be a good Christian. You young men right here are not too young to aspire to be the most faithful men you can be in the kingdom of God. I hope that there will be men here that God will call in the ministry. But if He doesn't, I want you to be faithful men who teach your children and your wife will stand beside you in teaching your children the way of the Lord. In Joshua's day, and I was going to tell you about that, Joshua was strong. But when he died and his generation died, there arose a generation that didn't know the Lord. And what happens when people do not know the Lord is that they begin to fall in all kinds of error. So it's incumbent upon you to be true to the Lord so that the churches where you're at and the churches that will arise from your efforts and labors do not fall in the darkness of error to where they fall and they don't even know the Lord anymore. That's your task. The athlete strives for the victory, for the crown at the end. And Paul tells us in Hebrews there in chapter 12 that, you know, that we're to lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily besets us and that we're to run with patience there. Because what is the victory at the end? Is it not Jesus Christ? The hope of glory? Do you want Christ? Paul said, listen, obtaining and knowing Christ is the most important objective of his life, that he was willing to lose and sacrifice all, and he could be in prison, chained up and bound, and still be happy in the Lord and say, I'm ready to go. I fought the fight. I fought a good fight. Are you willing to be like the farmer who labors out in his field, tending his field day and night in order that he might receive the fruit of it? See, here's the promise. Faithfulness in doing what God commands. There's untold blessings. Even if, in order to keep those commands, your life becomes difficult. God's grace is so great that you can even deal with the difficulties of life. I want to remind you again. Paul would say this, 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 8, and I'll end. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Now that's important for you and I because, brethren, what do you want men to say of you? What do you want people to say of you? Because you're going to leave a testimony. Did you know that? For good or bad? You're going to leave a testimony. You're already leaving witness what kind of people is, what's important to you. Is football more important, talking about football more important to you than talking about Jesus Christ? I'm saying it's wrong to talk about football, but when we obsess over it, it is. Even if it's the Georgia Bulldogs. Do you obsess over that? Is that what you spend your time talking about more than to anybody else? Do you know what all of us should have the most in common? It's not our sports. It's not our music. But you know what binds the kingdom of God? And what has become so important to you in the long run as you get older? Is that common bond of like faith in Christ Jesus. He is what holds and unites the church. Therefore, He should be the supreme delight of our lives and the spring topic of our conversations. The farmer would diligently search. But I want you to notice, he says, I kept the faith. Paul was looking out to the future, and I love this. Look at this.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Christ is coming back, folks, and we're going to stand before him, and we're going to have to give him an account to him for our service. Are you anticipating his coming back? Does that cause you to fear? Or does that message that Christ is coming back to judge the world impel you to tell others of Jesus Christ and to repent, because Christ is coming again and he's going to reign in righteousness and he's going to sit and judge the world? There are many people out there looking for answers. Do you realize that you have the answers that is given to you in this word? And God calls upon you, if you want to strengthen yourself in grace, you need to be students of this, and you need to not only know what it says, but you begin to apply it in your hearts, and you live it, and you tell others, and you be unashamed followers of Jesus Christ, and that your motto can be the motto of the Apostle Paul: for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. God bless you.